I want to begin with a little crime scene investigation. You guys have all seen the detective shows. What is the nail in the coffin that somebody was there, that the bad guy was on the scene and that he actually did the crime? I mean, other than confession. If they confess, that's it. This is even better than fingerprints. And it's something that actually is relatively recent. Well, of course, I'm talking about... Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Still not talking about anything. There it is. Did y'all do that or did it finally? Okay. DNA. Y'all knew it, right? Talking about DNA. DNA is in all living creatures, and if you did the deed, your DNA is right there. And they'll be able to test it, swab your cheek, get that sample. They know. That's you. It's what makes up every single one of us. In fact, DNA is pretty amazing stuff. Here's what LiveScience.com tells us about DNA. DNA is a molecule that contains the instructions an organism needs to develop, live, and reproduce. Think about that. DNA is a molecule that contains the instructions an organism needs to develop, to live, and to reproduce. These instructions are found inside every cell and are passed down from parents to their children. Found in every cell. And it's passed on. Your parents had DNA and it got brought to you. And now we know where you are and who you are and what you've done, where you've been. But it's instructions that teach us how to develop, how to live, and how to reproduce. This year we're talking about making disciples. We're talking about being disciple-making disciples. We want to know how to develop disciples, how to live as disciples, and how to reproduce disciples. That's our goal. That's what we want. That's what everybody in this room is wanting to do. We want to grow in that. So it just stands to reason that what we really want to know then is what is the disciple's DNA? If we're going to have a disciple's DNA, it's going to have to be passed on to us from our parent, or we might say from our master. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus here points out to us the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Doesn't that sound like DNA? A child is not above his parent, but when they grow up, they're going to be a lot like their parents. No matter what we think as kids, we end up being like our parents. That's just the way it is. Because that DNA is there. When we have the disciple's DNA, we're going to be like our master. Because the DNA that is in our master is passed on to us. That is disciple DNA. I want us to think about that for a few moments this morning. As we consider who we are, what it is that we want to be. I want us to think about the disciple's DNA. What has been passed on from our master to us? When we are a disciple, what are the instructions about how to develop as a disciple? How to live as a disciple? And how to reproduce other disciples? The disciple's DNA. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, you are magnificent. You are the awesome God, ruler of heaven and earth. You are the creator. You have brought all things into existence and you have made this world so that we can live on it, so that we can grow in it. But more than that, you sent your son to die for us so that we could be your children, that our sins could be washed away, that we can have victory, that we can progressively grow and overthrow our sins and become more and more like your son, our master. We pray that your son's DNA will fill our spiritual lives, that we will develop to be like your son. That we will live like your son, and that we will reproduce others who will grow to be like your son. That this DNA will be in us, that it will be through us, and that it will come out in others as we spread your gospel to them. Father, help us this morning that everything we do is about you and not about us. That we bring you the glory and we take none of the glory for ourselves. You are the awesome God, the ruler of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord and Savior. And we are so thankful. We pray unto your name be the glory, not unto ours. We magnify and honor you this morning in this time of worship. And we pray for anyone who is here that has not become one of your disciples, that hearts and minds will be opened, that they will answer that invitation to become one of your children, one of your son's disciples, we magnify you and praise you this morning. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. Through your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we look deep into the disciples' DNA, I just want to say thank you for being here. We've got lots of our regular members are here, and we're so glad that you're here each and every service that we have. It's certainly an encouragement to me. And thankful to our guests. We've got several guests here today, and I am so thankful that you have decided to join with us today to worship God. You hopefully received a program, and inside that program, you'll see a couple of things on the third page. There's an interactive outline. If you didn't know about that, you can open that up, and you can follow right along. There's also a connection card. And you can fill out this connection card and drop it in the collection plate that we're going to be passing around at the end of the assembly. It's the only thing we're going to be asking you to put in that collection plate. And so hopefully you can fill that out. However, if you're techie like some of our folks are here, you may prefer as a first-time guest just to pull out your phone. It's the only time we're ever going to ask you to pull out your phone and text in church. And you can go ahead and text the word welcome to that number that you see on the screen. And sometime today, you'll receive a little message from us and you can fill out a digital connection card. The reason we're asking you to do this is because we love it here. We love this congregation. I love being a part of this congregation. One of the big reasons I love being a part of this congregation is because it's a congregation that has purpose. We have elders that are leading us on purpose. And I am excited about the purpose that we have of making disciples. And I know that that kind of purpose can fill your life with meaning as well. And we'd love for you to grow to love this congregation as much as we do. So please fill out that connection card or text welcome to this number on your phone and you'll receive that on your phone and you can follow up with that. But let's talk a little bit about the disciples' DNA. The disciples' DNA. The very first thing that we need to understand about a disciple is somebody who honors God. A disciple is someone who honors God. The reason I know that is because our master was someone who honors God. We learn in John chapter 12, verses 27 through 28, Jesus, as he was looking forward to his crucifixion, says this, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus was facing the crucifixion. He was facing death. He was facing death on your behalf, on my behalf. What is he worried about here? At this moment, what he is most concerned about is God's glory. Our master, no matter what he faced, the number one thing that governed his life, that he was focused on, glorifying and honoring God. It's no surprise then that when Jesus passed on that DNA to his disciples, that what he passed on to the disciples was that they were supposed to glorify and honor God. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." We prove to be disciples when glorifying God is the number one thing that governs our lives, that honoring God is what governs us and rules us, whether we're here in this building with other saints or we're at home by ourselves, whether we're on the job or whether we're at school. We are people who honor God. And the reason why we use that word honor is because glorify, that's a 50-cent word that we don't use in conversation very much. I mean, when's the last time that you were talking to somebody and you used the word glorified in conversation? Most of the time when we use the word glorified, we'll say something like, "Oh, he's just a glorified whatever." We don't use that word in positive ways, actually, do we? And so when we want to look at the disciples' DNA, one of the things that we have shared just to try to help us understand it better is that word honors. That's a word we do use. We talk about honoring people. And we recognize that a disciple is someone who doesn't honor self, but a disciple is someone who honors God. God is the one who is honored in their lives through obedience and through praise. That's where Jesus was, even as he was facing crucifixion. The number one thing on his mind and his heart, honoring and bringing glory to his Father, even if it meant being crucified. That's the disciples' DNA. That's what causes us to develop as disciples. That's how we live as disciples, to honor God. That's one of the reasons we as a congregation have assemblies like this on a regular basis. It's not just simply because we're trying to fulfill a command. It's because we want to be people who honor God. And so we gather here together on the first day of the week, what we commonly call the Lord's Day. And we honor God. And we are equipped and trained and provoked to honor God by what we do here. That is the foundation of the disciples' DNA, passed from our master to us as his disciples. But there's a second aspect of the disciples' DNA that we understand, and that's the fact that a disciple learns from God. Have any of you seen this before? Some of you have. This is new to some folks. For some, I'm still trying to get you to dream about this circle. It's going to happen. A disciple learns from God. Shockingly enough, when we look at our master, Jesus the Christ, who was God in the flesh, one of the things we learn about him is that he said he was taught by God, that he learned from God. We find this in John chapter 8 in verse 28. Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me." How did Jesus speak? As the Father had taught him. Now I find this fascinating because here's Jesus, who is God, who is divine, who is deity. Everything that God is, Jesus is in human form. If there is anybody, any man on the face of the earth that could ever do exactly what it is that he wanted to do and get away with it, it's going to be Jesus. But that's not what he did. What he did was what the Father taught him. He learned from God. That was his DNA. And that's the DNA that he has passed on to his disciples. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, he declares, "It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God." We are people that need to learn from God, being taught by the Father, just as our master was. Not doing whatever it is that we please or whatever feels good to us or whatever we think is good, or just because we thought, well, this ought to be okay. We need to be able to say, this is what I have been taught by the Father. Now, when we say that we will be taught by God, we're not saying that Yahweh himself comes into our classes or stands behind our pulpit. We're not saying that at all. Nor are we saying that you're going to hear the voice of God in your head. What we are saying is that God has given his word. That God has provided his word. He has revealed his mind and his heart and his soul to us. And by getting into his word, we can understand his mind and heart and soul as much as any man can. And when what we are teaching comes from what he has said and what he has revealed, that is being taught by God. The distinction can be found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, when Jesus, quoting Isaiah, talks about folks who learn from a different source. In Matthew chapter 15 verses 8 and 9, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They know right words to say, but they're not really devoted to me. And how could he tell? They worship in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." If what we teach originated with a man, if what we're saying and what we're passing on has originated in the heart and the mind of man, then we're worshiping in vain. It does no good. That's why we must learn from God. We must get into what the heart and mind of God as he has revealed it to us. Only when what we are learning originates there are we being taught by God. But that's like our master, because our master himself was taught by the Father and learned from God. And that is how a disciple develops. That is how a disciple lives. But third, we recognize that a disciple not only honors God, a disciple not only learns from God, but a disciple loves like God. Love is a big buzzword in our culture. Love is a big catchword. You apply the word love to something and we just kind of melt. But very few people understand what love really is. Very few people understand how to determine if what we've really done is actually loved somebody when we're done. Jesus knew how to love people, and he knew it because he loved like God. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Jesus' love wasn't just, here's what the culture says is love. Jesus' love wasn't just being nice to people. Jesus' love was taking a look at the Father, and how does the Father love? How does the Father behave? What does the Father do when he loves people? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love the way the Father has loved. So it shouldn't surprise us in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, when Jesus passes on this DNA to his disciples, that he says this: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But it's not just that you love one another. That's an old commandment. Loving one another is an old, old commandment. Here's what made it new: just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. The new commandment was we're supposed to love as Jesus, who is God in the flesh, loved. How did he love? As the Father loved. And then notice what it says in the very next verse: by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want to share something shocking with you from this verse. Do you notice that this verse doesn't say people will know you're my disciples by how you love the world? Now, certainly the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love everyone. We're to love our spouses. We're to love our parents. We're to love our children. We're to love our neighbors. We're even to love our enemies. But what Jesus says is people will know you're my disciples based on how you love one another. And we need to love like God loved. We need to love one another like God has loved. That's why we as a congregation have established our house-to-house program. As we try to get folks involved in relationships with one another, not where they're just learning what's going on in the scripture, but they're learning how to love one another and serve one another in a spiritual relationship. We've got a house-to-house session going on right now. If you didn't get in that, we can get you in that for the last half of it. And then get you in the next one when it comes up at the beginning of the new year. You can talk to me afterwards and we'll get you in a group where you can learn how to love like God loves. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity, because that's the disciple's DNA. That's what a disciple does. A disciple loves like God loves. A disciple learns to love one another. But not only that, a disciple learns to lead others to God. A disciple is someone who leads others to God. Remember what DNA is? DNA is not only how we develop, the instructions on how to develop. It's not only the instructions on how to live, but it's also the instructions on how to reproduce. We want to develop as a disciple. We want to live as a disciple. And we want to reproduce other disciples. And that's exactly what Jesus did. This DNA was in him. He led others to God. In fact, in the prayer on the night that he was betrayed in John 17, 26, here's what he said about his work while he was here in the earth. In John 17, 26, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. That the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. When Jesus was here, what did he do with his disciples? He led them to the Father. For Jesus, it wasn't just about getting people to follow him. It was about getting people to the Father. I have led them to you. I have made known your name. I've let them know that this is all about you. It shouldn't surprise us then when we see the disciples, this message that had been passed on to them. John, the one who's been writing all of these statements that we've looked at in this lesson, John said toward the end of his gospel, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John had been around his master, and he became like his master. His master led people to God. And what does John do as he writes this book? It's not about believe John. It's about believe Jesus. It's about believe God. It's about leading others to God. That is in the disciples' DNA. We need to be leading others to God. Some of you know that we used to have point others to God on this one. We changed it to lead because we realized a disciple doesn't just say, hey, God's over there, that's where you need to go. A disciple says, I'm heading to God, come with me. Leading the way. A disciple leads others to God. That's why we've talked about two-pronged evangelism. You know we've talked about it. We've got the come and see evangelism. We've got the go and tell evangelism. I don't know how many of you noticed this. We've got these great new invitation cards on the tables in the back. These are just some very simple generic invitation cards. Here's what it says on the front. Do you have a church home? Here's what it says on the back. I love mine. Please join me. And you can write your name and your phone number on that line so folks can get in touch with you. And it's got some information about the congregation on it. We can invite people to come and see and let them know about what's going on here. Let them meet Jesus, our Master, our Savior, as they come into the body of Christ. Let them know about that. Grab some of those cards today, because disciples lead others to God. But then we've got our Go and Tell evangelism, which is one of the reasons we've put together that tool, I Need Good News Today. There are cards for that on the back as well. We're going to have another training session on November 19th. The last one got blown away by the hurricane. But on November 19th, we're going to be able to have another training session for I Need Good News Today. We'd love for you to learn how to present the gospel confidently to other folks, to go and tell them what Jesus has done. If you want to get together privately and go through that, we'd be happy to do that. Either Andrew or I or some of the others who've been learning it, we'd be happy to get together with you. Because that's what a disciple does. A disciple leads others to God. It's in our DNA. It's how we live. It's how we develop. It's how we reproduce other disciples. And finally, we understand that all of this is wrapped up in abiding in the Word of God. If we're not honoring God according to the Word that He has revealed, we're not honoring God. If we're not learning from God according to the Word He has revealed, we're not learning from God. If we're not loving like God based on what God has demonstrated in His Word, we're not loving like God. And if we're not leading others to God based on what God has revealed, then we're not leading others to God. We must abide in God's Word. That's exactly what our Master did. Our Master points out to us in John 8:55 as He's talking to His enemies who are trying to get people to turn away from Him. He says, "You haven't known Him, that is God. I know Him. I know God. If I were to say that I don't know Him, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His Word." To know God is to keep His Word, is to abide in what He has revealed, to live based upon what He has said. That is how we live, and that is how we develop disciples, and that's how we reproduce other disciples. In fact, it shouldn't surprise us that just moments before this, just a few verses earlier, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, as Jesus was passing this DNA onto His disciples, He said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples." It's not just I go to church somewhere, I'm truly a disciple. It's not I've given up a few things, I'm truly a disciple. What makes us truly a disciple? I am in His Word. I'm letting His Word govern me and change me. I see what it says and I do that. That's when I'm truly a disciple. And that's what it means to grow as a disciple, to let this Word change our lives continually as we grow. That is being a disciple. That's how we develop as a disciple. That's how we grow and live as a disciple. And that's how we reproduce other disciples, by abiding in God's Word. That is the disciple's DNA. That is the instructions for how to develop, how to live, and how to reproduce disciples. A disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, who leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. That's what we're trying to develop. We're spending this year talking about being disciple, making disciples. What is it that we're making? We're making people who honor God, learn from God, love like God, lead others to God, all while abiding in His Word. And if we end up making something else, we may be making nice people, but we're not making disciples. Is this DNA in you? Are you growing in this DNA? It is a growth process. Let's face it, when a baby comes into the world, they have that DNA, they have that instructions, but they're not a full-grown, mature person. They're going to grow. We're not saying that once you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you fully understand all these things and you're doing all these things perfectly, otherwise you're not a disciple. We're not saying that. I'm not saying that. But we do understand that we're growing in these things, growing in our ability to honor God, growing in our learning from God, growing in our love to be more like God, and growing in our ability to lead others to this God that has saved us. And we're doing that by abiding in what He has taught us and revealed in His holy Word. He is a great and amazing God. And a disciple will not be above his master, but every disciple, when fully trained, will be like his master. And that really gets us down to the whole point, doesn't it? We're striving to be like Jesus and make other people that are growing to be like Jesus. That is a disciple. Who wants that? All right, that was painful. Who wants that? All right, very good. Thank you. We want to be disciples. We're so glad you're here to grow as a disciple. Please feel free to put your notes away at this time. You can pull out a songbook if you want to follow along in the song, but the lyrics will be up on this screen behind me. Brother Fannin's going to come back up here and lead us in another song in just a moment. Why, oh why, would anyone want to be a disciple? Why would anybody want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I can tell you why. Because it's only disciples that can be like Jesus Christ. You know, the sad part about it is that we live in a culture that's almost been changed just by the message. What would Jesus do? I don't know how many times I even hear people that aren't Christians and aren't following the Word of God say, well, what would Jesus do here? And the sad part is they don't actually know what Jesus would do because they're not looking at what Jesus did. A lot of folks have the idea that what would Jesus do means, well, Jesus would be nice. They don't actually get further into what it means to be a child of God like Jesus. Why would anyone want to be a disciple? Because being like Jesus means a whole lot more than just being nice. And only disciples can be like Jesus. Only disciples can be forgiven and set free from sin by Jesus. Only disciples are saved from the wrath of God for our sins. Only disciples. This morning we want to invite you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple that says, Jesus is my master. I want to be like him. I'm tired of being like me. I've done me for far too long and I've messed it all up. I want to be like him. I'm going to start following him. Wherever it is that he goes, that's where I'm going to go. Wherever it is he says, that's what I'm going to do. Because I've done me for too long. And I know where that's led. I want him. Sure, it's going to be a growth process. But what a growth process it's going to be. And what a Savior we have that walks hand in hand with us along the way. We'd like to invite you to be that disciple. Here's how it happens. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That he is the Master? That he died for you? Then let us know that. And you can let us know that this morning. While we sing this song, we're going to ask you to come down to the front. And you can let us know, I believe that. I want to be his disciple. And then what we'll do is we'll take you right up here behind the stage and we'll baptize you in water. We'll immerse you in the water so that you can die with Christ and be buried with him and raised to walk in newness of life. By the way, that is metaphorical. We're not going to keep you under there till you're dead physically. But spiritually, you will die with Christ and you'll be raised to walk in a new life being like Jesus. If you want to be a disciple today, won't you let us know by coming down right now as we stand and sing this song?